America Weekend.
Welcome back. This is Smith Sabatino, Roland Smith with Carl Sabatino. Our guest in this particular section is a gentleman by the name of John Grant. And I have to tell you how I met John Grant, Carl. I was reading on the internet the other day a website called Nation of Change. Basically, it's a liberal website, but I kind of enjoy some of the opinions that come through there. And Mr. Grant had written basically an op-ed for that particular website on basically anti-war sentiments dealing with George W. Bush and the way things are going at the moment. I called Mr. Grant, and we talked for a while, and I found out that he was a Vietnam veteran, same era that you were in Vietnam.
Yes.
And that basically what he is, and he can explain for himself, but basically, as I understand it, he was a warrior at first and then became somebody who said, what we're doing is not necessarily the right thing or the right way. So on the line, we have John Grant. Thank you for joining us on Smith Sabatino, Mr. Grant.
Things. I write for This Can't Be Happening, which was then picked up by Nation of Change. I just want to establish that.
Okay, to explain what is This Can't Be Happening.
This Can't Be Happening is a online publication basically of four or five writers, journalists who have gotten together, founded by Dave Lindorf, here in Philadelphia, a journalist, and we write on a lot of things, and our pieces are then picked up by a lot of what I guess you'd call aggregate blogs. I guess Nation of Change would be one of them, Counterpunch,
right,
and that sort of thing.
Now, basically, are you always writing about things that oppose war, or are you just?
Well, here my history is I first of all never would call myself a warrior. I think that's a present term that came out after 9/11 that I have some issues with. I was a soldier. I joined the Army and actually asked to go to Vietnam, and then I was a 19-year-old kid. I really didn't know what the hell was going on, and came back later and read a lot, and then began to really question the war, oppose it, and as a taught myself photography. I was a journalist. I taught myself photography. Spent a lot of time in Central America doing documentary photography in the 80s. And at that point, I say the scales fell from my eyes about U.S. foreign policy. And so I raised a lot of questions. And they all seemed to be reinforced. The answers all seemed to be reinforced as policy moved on with Iraq and things like that. So, yeah, I'm pretty much an anti-war activist. I have been with a group called Veterans for Peace since 1985 when the organization was founded. And I've traveled, as I say, in Central America a lot. I was in Iraq twice during the war, once with a peace group of veterans and military families, and I actually went in an Opel with a cracked windshield to find this fella's son in Fallujah in December 03. And then actually, believe it or not, the next month I went again as a cameraman for a documentary film, and we did some filming in Baghdad. And that involved four 12-hour trips in SUVs across Anbar Desert. So I'm familiar with the whole geography of where ISIS is doing their horrors now. It sort of makes me quite interested in it.
John, I want to ask the question, and,
sure,
and I know that time is always in essence here, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. From your cameraman's eye, give us an interpretation of your view of what you have seen, in terms, and you can look at it from the 10,000 foot view if you'd like. What have you seen?
You mean generally or in Anbar province?
As far as war is concerned, in general,
what really moved me, as I say, in Vietnam, I was just sort of a naive kid on the sides doing my job, and I did my job. I got an Army Commendation Medal and all sorts of things. Later, and certainly in Central America, what I saw and what I photographed were poor people up in the rebel zones of El Salvador. You know, the horror stories you hear, a woman who found her daughter on a body dump skinned, you know, I mean, horrible, horrible stuff. The way the left was broken and beaten and put down by, you know, what they call in El Salvador the 14 families in the far right, which, of course, was supported by Ronald Reagan and the whole Contra War, of course, in Nicaragua, where I was there several times. So the war that Ronald Reagan and people like that were talking about was not the war that I saw. What I saw was, instead of an east-west battle, was a north-south battle against, you know, poverty versus power and wealth. And in that sense, El Salvador was a real lesson for me to see how, you know, disastrously and cruelly that poor people can be treated. And we were involved in that. So it was a really important lesson for me.
Do you feel, John, that when you read stuff from the official United States government, right, that you're not hearing the truth?
A lot of times, yes. I frankly do not trust my government. I mean, it's gotten to that point. Now, amongst many of my friends on the left, I'm probably considered a turncoat and a conservative. I'm one of these guys that no matter what group I'm with, I'm sort of the other. You know, they question me. So, you know, I can be with the left. You know, like, are my credentials may be a little suspect, or if I'm with people on the right, I'm obviously suspect. So I try to listen to a lot of voices. I watch Fox News regularly. I flip back and forth with others, and, you know, so I pay attention to what's going on. I don't 100% discount what my government says, but I, you know, have come to the point of, the way I describe it is this way, I've written about it, is that especially the United States military, especially when it's in war in Iraq and places like that, deals with the American public in two very distinct modes. One of them is secrecy, and the other one is public relations. And there's a sort of a hiatus in between the two, and our press tries to, you know, eat into the secrecy elements and find out what they're really doing. But, you know, it's, you know, that's a little simplistic construction, of course, but I basically see it in that way.
Well, when you do that, and you get criticized by both sides, how do you defend your position if, in fact, it seems to be desultory at the moment?
Well, I defend my position by, maybe it's a little self-glorification, but I'm searching for the truth, and I don't have all the answers, and so I'm actually giving it my best shot. And if someone, everything's a dialogue, if someone has issues with that, they can bring them up, and, you know, we can certainly discuss it, and I will concede at times that I'm off base. I've gone round and around with very good friends in Atlanta, for instance, Jewish, one of them child of survivors of the Holocaust, and you know, I mean, unbelievable conversations personally, and yet we have come out of it remaining friends about certainly Israel and Gaza, which I'm speaking about at the moment. But I think, you know, nowadays a lot of us, the danger is we get polarized, and with the internet we can only hang out with our ideological cronies, clones, and so we only, or many people only tend to want to hear what reinforces their own views, their own ideology.
You know, that seems to be
zones. And, you know, so I like to break that if I can.
Boy, I would like to be with you on that particular issue. Certainly, people have always been reinforced by their own opinions rather than the truth. And the truth is something that needs to be discerned by any number of avenues of which one can search at any given time.
And it's messy and often very uncomfortable.
Yes, indeed, because you sometimes have to admit that you were wrong.
You do. I concede that. Absolutely.
Well, we are running out of time here, John, but I will say this. One of the things that we might all look at, and I've said this to many, whether mm-hmm. both from the conservative or the progressive or liberal point of view.
Sure.
When you as a cameraman or person, to mm-hmm. be politically correct, takes that picture, mm-hmm. if a picture tells 1,000 words, it mm-hmm. does say what you mean, does it not?
Well, a picture can be, you know, the picture is what it is. I mean, it's an image of reality through a certain lens at a certain shutter speed, et cetera, et cetera. But then it's fair game. It's open to anybody to interpret, and the interpretations can go anywhere.
All right, John Grant, I need to interrupt you.
For flashpoints, they can be political footballs and all this.
Yeah, John, I need to interrupt you. I beg your pardon on that. Your website, quickly again.
The blog site is www.thiscan'tbehappening.net, and, of course, no apostrophe in it. www.thiscan'tbehappening.net.
Thanks for joining us on Smith Sabatino. Thank you. America,
weekend. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.